Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hi, this is Stephen Lewis from PsychicAccess.com, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Dr. Art Carnot joins us to discuss the secrets of remote energy healing. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing okay. Thank you so kindly, Stephen.
I'm happy to hear that. Very happy to hear that. Before we get started with the interviewing Dr. Carnot, can you share with our listeners what you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
What I do for my work, which is every day of my life, I'm an intuitive psychic empath. I feel things which can be very difficult, but it makes her a good reader. But I also utilize the tarot, as I feel the tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. That's my view only, not saying that it is, everybody else's. And I help people help themselves.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us, everyone. You can find Maureen at PsychicAccess.com. And also I have with me here tonight Steve Frampton. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Stephen. Looking forward to this show.
So am I. The secrets of remote energy healing sound very, very, very provocative, interesting stuff. But before we get into that, why don't you share with our listeners your specialties over at PsychicAccess.com?
Sure. Well, I'm a psychic medium, so I connect with the spirit and particularly enjoy working with people to connect them with their loved ones in the spirit world. I think that that's extremely healing. And I enjoy working with my guides and channeling, but I am also somebody that uses tarot. And I don't use it extensively, but I use it for certain questions, certain inquiries. I'm also very passionate about astrology, as you know. So I use astrology to help people to understand themselves and to look at when things are most likely to occur in life.
Outstanding. Well, we're glad to have you here with us tonight. Everyone listening at home, please find Steve at PsychicAccess.com. You'll be glad that you did. Dr. Nona Marie, how are you doing?
I'm fabulous. And how are you, Stephen?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. Thank you. Pretty soon you'll be talking to Dr. Art Carnot. But before you describe him, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, such as the talents that you use at PsychicAccess.com?
Absolutely. On Psychic Access, you don't use tools because I try to get quickly into helping people with answers to their questions. I do like to use numerology and tarot on different occasions when I have the time to do that. I absolutely love to tune into those tools that help me communicate so strongly with the other side. And I just want to say I'm always so impressed with the people that call into Psychic Access. They always seem to be a certain kind of person that's looking deeper into the meaning of life, not just looking for quick answers. So that's very exciting to talk to people like that.
I agree, because then you can really solve their problems. But can you tell us a little bit now about Dr. Art Carnot before we bring him on?
Dr. Carnot is fabulous. I met him when he first started working on horses on remote healing, and I have two horses, and he was working on some very expensive show horses, and the owners were saying, we don't know what he does and we don't want to know what he does, but we do know whatever it is working after spending thousands of dollars on chiropractors, acupuncture, and many other treatments for their horses that weren't working. Dr. Carnot was able to fix their horses, and that really impressed me, because horses can't fake symptoms and they can't fake getting well. So that was really exciting. And so I met Dr. Carno, and it turned out he worked on humans as well. So I became a devoted fan of his. I think this was back in 2001. And he's taught me a great deal about healing and remote healing. And I've sent many a person to him, and he's just utterly fantastic. So I'm really thrilled that he's making the time to be on the show tonight.
Well, excellent. And we have Dr. Art Carno here. So why don't you go ahead and bring him out, and let's see what we got planned this evening for remote energy healing.
All right. Hey, Art, are you there?
I am.
Yay.
I am here.
Hi, in Kuala Lumpur. How is it there today?
Well, it's good. I'm blushing from your introduction, even though it's early in the morning for me. So thank you for that.
I mean every word of it. It's been a great knowing you, and may we have many more decades of knowing each other. So,
well, I agree with that, and hope so also.
So let's jump in to just a little bit about your background, because you did start off, I believe, as a chiropractor. So I'm just curious, because a lot of people who listen to the show are interested in developing their own skills. How did you make that transition? How did you find out about remote healing that you shifted over?
Well, when I got out of chiropractic school, I went to work for a couple of doctors who were doing, in addition to kind of straight chiropractic, they were doing energy healing, and I was fascinated by that. So I watched them and got interested, and then learned the techniques that they were doing, because it was just more involved for me. It was almost like becoming a general practitioner and being able to handle any ailments in addition to the spine, which of course is very important. So I just plunged right in and started doing what they were doing, and they were good mentors for me.
Fabulous. And did your clients have any trouble switching over, or were they the same clients and you added more? I'm just kind of curious, because so many people found remote healing back in the day kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, well, these were actually two women chiropractors, so they had a pretty diverse clientele. There weren't a lot of women chiropractors in those days, and they had sort of I don't know if you would call it a showbiz type of practice, but they had an eclectic group of clients, and I worked on a lot of their clients, and then as new ones came in, of course, they had the reputation of doing what they do, and then I had that reputation as well. So no, there was no problem having any kind of convincing attitude towards that work.
Nice. Very nice. So how would you, in general, describe energy healing? And remote healing is one school of energy healing. So how do you describe this to our listeners?
Well, the odd thing, in a very general term, almost everything is energy healing. But what I mean by that is the whole body is made out of energy and energy frequency. So anything you do to the body is going to begin with an energy frequency shift. Even if you take medicine, mm-hmm. it's going to do something energetically. But beyond that, what I think your question is more specifically energy healing? And I would say that it's basically a direct influence on the energy frequencies of the body without using medicine. And other disciplines as well would fall in under the category, like acupuncture is an energy type of healing, and hands-on type approaches. So basically it's just manipulating energy frequencies without medicine.
So I guess the most, I agree with what you're saying there on that. And I remember when I first met you and you were working on horses, you used to show up and do muscle testing and kind of make a show of it so people could see that something was actually really happening. And then you were able to graduate to not even coming to the facility to treat horses And of course, now with humans, you don't do that either. So how is it that you connect remotely with a client, and how does remote healing differ from things like acupuncture and Reiki and other things that people might be familiar with?
Well, with remote healing, we're using the mind to send energy frequencies to change other energy frequencies of the client that are out of balance. So remote healing we do in a distance. There's no hands-on, there's no tools, there's no nothing. It's pure mind connection. And to be able to do that is very simple. You just make an intention to connect with the person or animal that you want to do the work with.
Well, that's, you know, that brings up a slightly scary perspective too, when people talk about black magic or negative vibes affecting people. And I've always had the position that, you know, if you're centered and you protect yourself and all that, people cannot get after you with their thoughts. So I'm wondering if you think there's something different or something special that has to go on that allows you into someone's energy field rather than just thinking about them, because then it seems like you could do voodoo on just about anybody. Or can we, do you think?
Well, yes, you can. You can use energy in a malevolent way. I imagine I've never done that, but there are plenty of factions around the world that use voodoo and black magic all the time. And, you know, it's yes, I suppose that could be scary for a client, but if you have a reputation for being a good person and, you know, a good healer, then I don't think, you know, that's up to them what they have to worry about, But I don't put too much stock in that. And really, honestly, nobody's ever brought it up. Like, what if you get in there and you're a weird guy and you want to do bad things to me? No one's ever, in all the years I've been doing that, no one's ever mentioned it.
Right, right. Well, that speaks something to about your character, I think, and your energy and your personality, that no one would ever even question that. But I guess it's a funny thought I had never thought of before until just now, about the idea of using the mind to connect with people and then thinking about whether they needed to give their permission or not for you to work on them. And I know that you seek permission, I know that, but it was just kind of a stray thought I hadn't thought of before, that it could go the other way then, if we're that responsive to energy by just having someone think about us while they work on us.
It can go the other way, but it's you have to, the energy giver has to create that other way. It's not going to happen just because the energy I'm sending gets mixed up with some weird dark cloud out there and then shifts, you know, and causes a rain cloud in the client. It doesn't work that way. You really got to have your act together to be able to make that happen.
Yeah, to do bad things like that. Yeah. So, do you, this kind of gets a little bit into quantum aspects as well. Do you believe that energy behaves in a certain way so that we know how to manipulate it? And if so, what are some of the kind of rules or observations you have about energy and how it behaves?
Well, yes, absolutely. Energy behaves in a certain way, and there's a whole discipline of science, which you mentioned, quantum physics, or if you want to use the quantum laws, then it's quantum healing. And the first law is, and we're talking about laws that have to do with invisible particles, energy frequencies. They're totally different than the laws of three-dimensional physics, like gravity, and an apple will fall from the tree every time. So there's behavior in these molecules, and one of them is called the theory of entanglement, which is how we connect to another person. And basically, the theory of entanglement means all you have to do is think of that person, and you will connect to their energy frequency. All you need are a few tidbits of information, You know, some people think maybe they have to have a picture or they have to have a piece of jewelry. No. All you have to do is think of who you're thinking of. You might have a name, or you might even have a, you know, somebody says, well, I have a friend who's got this thing, this problem, and that's all the information you ever need, is that you're going to connect to who that friend is. And so that's the law of entanglement, and that's one of the rules of quantum physics. And the other, one of the other laws is that there are many of them, but the basic ones are that you can use energy frequencies to change other energy frequencies. And a thought is an energy frequency. Mm-hmm. And a person's physical physiology and body construction is made out of energy frequencies. So when you take that thought, which is an energy frequency, and intend to change some physical nature of the person you're entangling with, it will happen, just simply because that's what energy is able to do.
Why is it then that, like, you're really good at remote healing, and not everybody is? I mean, you've taught some people, and some of them grab it, and some of them don't. So if it's so simple, like you're explaining, what do you think are the elements that make someone more successful than someone else?
Well, okay, what makes a person a good healer? I suppose there are some weird things that go into that, and then some basic elements of just practicing something. The more you do anything, the better you get at it. So if you really want to be a good healer, you're going to put your heart and soul into doing that. It's not just a little sideline that maybe you would do once in a while. And the more you know, the better you're going to be. And it is helpful, because let's say there's an even playing field of people who want to do energy healing. Like in anything else, there's going to be something that separates out the really good ones from the just the normal ones. But, I mean, there are innate abilities to do this. But let's say that people don't have that. The other way to just be a good healer is just to want to be, and to learn it, practice it, do it a lot. You're going to build a muscle inside of you that's able to send energy easily, and then you're going to develop a believability about it. The more you believe you can do it, the better you get at it. Yeah. That's your kind of connection to being a good healer, is your own confidence in yourself. And when you have that, it amps up your power. One other thing I'm going to say about that is that there is some detail involved in energy healing where, you know, you want to kind of know how the body works. Okay, you don't have to be a doctor to do that, because, you know, everybody knows what the lungs are and where they are and what the heart is and what it does basically in the digestive system. But you can get into some detail about that and learn, you know, where's the thyroid and what does it do and what are the adrenal glands, and some information about that by looking at a physiology chart is very, very helpful, because then you can tune in more accurately and be more specific.
Well, that kind of leads into the question then, why is energy healing so effective compared to possibly even other methods?
Okay. Well, since the body is made of energy frequencies and all the physiology and action of it is an energy frequency, or starts with an energy frequency and then becomes an entry into diseased tissue and more layers of severity. Since energy healing deals specifically with energy frequencies, you're getting right to the source, right where it begins, right where that energy frequency gets balanced and months and go by and it starts to turn into some kind of a physical symptom. So you're dealing as closely to the source of disease as you possibly can. And that's what makes it effective. And unlike medicine or other disciplines, you can get so specific down to the very cell, the cellular level, the DNA. There's nothing else that deals on that level other than energy medicine.
Right. That's a really excellent point. That's really true. And also it can be done lightning fast, because it can be done with a thought rather than lab tests and machinery and being inaccessible. So that, I guess that's another part of energy healing I never thought about until you were talking about this, that it also makes this kind of healing quite accessible to a majority of the population, because it's not based on access to machinery or other exotic tools that someone may not be able to afford or may not be in the area where somebody lives.
Exactly. That's, you know, one of the beauties of it is, gee, I don't have to make an appointment. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to be doing anything particular, and I don't have to be in a. You can be on the moon and do for your client and right. do energy healing. It doesn't matter, and it's instantaneous access.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Amazing. So. So you say that everybody can do this, and that it does help to have some belief in the body, and it definitely helps to have a lot of practice and belief in yourself. So what would a procedure be for someone to do remote healing on a person or an animal? What at least is the process you follow if somebody wanted to start practicing for this and started looking up energy healing and remote healing? What would you suggest they do in a session?
Well, there's sort of an orderliness to doing an energy healing session, at least for me. The first thing you want to do is get quiet and have a sort of peaceful mind. You don't want to be thinking of, you know, how many bills you've got to pay and all of your own personal problems. You just want to clear your mind and sit down. You're not going to do this standing up. You want to really get focused. So I start with some deep breathing, because that's the quickest way and simplest way to calm your mind. And as you get into a state of kind of clean mindedness by doing that, you're going to connect, and through the what we call the law of entanglement, which means that you can connect to anything you want to that's alive, I would connect to the source of energy I want to utilize. In other words, when you send energy, you don't want to do it from your own energy base, because that's exhausting. And you've got a limited amount of energy, and you don't want to use it up. So you want to use an infinite source of energy. And that infinite source of energy is going to be a higher, whatever you consider to be your higher power. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a religious sort of affiliation. It can just be simply an energy field that we all know is out there, because that's how we got the spark of life. We didn't get born by our own efforts. Something mm-hmm. did it, and whatever did it, that's what you want to connect with. So you're going to use that source to give forth healing energy. And I'll go on if that's okay.
We're talking about connecting first and plugging into a greater source of energy than just the self.
Yes, yes. And of course, anytime you want to, you know, get clear, if I have said something and you want to clarify it, just jump right in, please. So, all right, next. So you're connected to this infinite source. Mm-hmm. And then you want to make an intention with that source, an agreement, if you will, or a request. And you say, I've got somebody that I want to do a healing on. Would you? Of course, they're not going to refuse because they're the energy source is there to do to access at any time. So you're going to make your request of what you want, and you're going to name the person or the animal that you intend to do something with. So you make that intention with the higher source, and next, because energy, and earlier on we were talking about, you know, energy flying around, and can some of it be waylaid or misused or whatever. If a person that you're healing has some kind of, I don't know, deep disturbance, let's say, and that's in their energetic field, you want to protect yourself because you don't want that energy flying back at you and contaminating yours. So the next step is to make a protection for yourself, kind of like a shield, if you will. And that shield is going to be an energetic shield that appears to be sort of, the way I do it is I imagine white sparkling light. White light is a very powerful, clean source of imaginary energy. And when you conjure that up and you cover yourself in that and make the intention to protect yourself from any outside energy that might come into your field, that agreement will be made and you will be protected. So you can feel safe that you're not extending yourself into any bad territory that might, you know, come back and bite you. So that would be the next step and an important one. So the next thing is that you have your agreement with your source of energy, and you're going to now bring your person into the field of your consciousness, just visually, or by some representation. It doesn't have to be exactly dimensionally proportionate. You can shrink them down so you can see them. They can even be a cartoon if you want. Your mind is going to represent it in the best way that you feel comfortable. So it doesn't really matter as long as you've got their identity or their energy frequency in your mind, which happens automatically when you make that intention. So now you're connected, and you're going to want to describe to your energy provider, higher source, what it is that you want to do. In other words, if that person has a specific request, you know, I have a cold, or I have a sore arm, or bad shoulder, or digestion problems, or I can't sleep, or whatever it is, and it could be more than one thing, you want to list those like a laundry list to your higher source. And make sure that everything is out in the open as to what you want to accomplish, because that becomes your intention. And by doing that, those things will get addressed. So even if you forget, you know, if you're in the healing and you forget, oh my God, I forgot to do this, it'll get handled because you asked for it earlier. And if you forget and you say, oh, I forgot to put in my list this other thing, you can do it then at any time. And then, so the next thing, once you have that declaration of your intentions, you are going to focus. You're going to focus and have an intention for whatever it is, the short sore arm or digestive problem, to now get healed. And that energy is going to be sent. It just is. It's going to be sent, and what your job is to watch. You want to look at it, you want to focus on it, and you want to watch that energy do whatever it's going to do. Now, I don't know what that's going to look like in your mind. I know what it looks like in mine, and that's where practice of doing this takes place. So you're going to get a sense of seeing that energy do a job. And that's important. You can't daydream there. You can't start thinking about other things. Your focus is the connection and it is the power. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just like if you were in person with somebody and you wanted to massage them, you're going to continue to massage them. You're not going to stop and go, you know, do something else and get a glass of water. You have to be on them doing that. Mm-hmm. Well, the focus is like the rubbing. Okay, so you can't stray from that. That's where you've got to concentrate. And you don't make an effort out of it. You don't strain. You just watch. And then when that's finished doing whatever it's going to do, you go on to the next area of what you wanted to accomplish. And it's helpful to, you know, make a list if you want to have a piece of paper. You're doing this with your eyes closed, generally, because it's more effective. But if you want to open your eyes and look around or whatever, no problem. So, at some point, you're going to be finished. And the healing is over. And what you want to then do is, I like to ground the patient. Mm-hmm. Ground them by imagining another process of having their feet, which are on the ground, sink into the earth about 10 feet. Because you heal somebody like that, they can get there's going to be an action, a process in their body of a lot of work being done. And they could get tired. They might want to go to sleep. They could get a little spacey. And you want to ground them. Make sure that they're really anchored into the earth before you leave them. And so you can imagine their feet. The earth is very grounding. And the lower you go in the earth, the more grounded you're going to be. Of course, you don't have to go 100 miles. You know, 10 feet's fine. You imagine whatever 10 feet is to you. Any questions so far?
No, this is excellent. I want to know, when you before you get to the grounded part, you said then it's over. Do you know, how do you know when a session is over?
Good question. it's over when it's over, basically, but, you know, how does do you know?
Feel different or?
Yes, go ahead.
Does it feel different or how does it look to you?
Yes, it feels different. You're going to get a sensation. As you're tuned in to this person and doing what you're doing, you're going to get feelings, sensations. As you watch the energy work, it could be a streaming kind of energy where there's a stream of movement or color or a sensation of action, or it could be any kind of thing, and usually is different for everybody. And the only way you're going to know what that is to do it. And most likely you're going to witness something in your mind like a little show, much like daydreaming in a way, except this is more guided. So when it's done, you're going to feel something different than that streaming or sensation. You're going to feel something stop, or you're going to feel something bounce back at you, like a fullness, like it can't take anymore, like a glass of water you're trying to fill up. Sooner or later, it's full and it's going to run over, and then you stop the water flow. So this sensation is kind of like it got full, it's dead, there's no more activity, and you're going to know that. Okay, I can't explain how you're going to know it, but it's just a sense. And it's not a difficult thing. And the more you do it, the more refined your sense is going to get. And that's how you know when it's done.
And that's when you do the grounding, is after that.
Exactly. When it's done, you ground them. Then you want to take care of yourself because you've just been in sort of a trance, if you will, very focused, energetic, concentrated trance. I don't mean you're hypnotized or anything. It's just more like you're just extremely concentrated on a task. So, and plus, you've exchanged energy with somebody. Mm-hmm. You have a connection to them, and a lot of their energy can come back to you. So you want to cut that energy. You want to shut off, like shutting off a car engine. You want to turn that key and everything stops. So you make an intention that the healing is over and you want to disconnect from that session and that person. The way I do it is actually physically. I take my hand in front of my stomach, because the stomach area is probably where this energy is going to come out of you. Now, that doesn't necessarily, it's not a hard rule, but there's a lot of chi in your solar plexus, in your navel area. That's where chi is housed and stored. So your energy is probably going to come out of there. Now, what I do is I take my hand and I just cut. Like there's a cord between you and the client, an invisible energy cord. You're going to take that hand and your hand and chop that cord and get your energy back in you and have that other person's energy be back in them. Mm-hmm. So you want to really physically make that disconnection. And then you want to clean yourself off, because you got a little dirty doing that, because you exchange energy and that energy is, a lot of it is imbalanced and sick energy. So what I do is I actually physically take my hands, and now I start at the top of my head and I peel off energy that might be clinging to my body. And you might imagine not only that it's on the outside, but also on the inside. And the stripping motion is going to take care of cleaning off all of that. So your hands literally will peel your energy off. You do it in strokes, you know, one stroke down your body, and then you kind of throw that energy into the ground and burn it up in your mind. It burns up. You don't want to leave that. Energy is real, okay? Even though you can't see it, you know, you can feel it. But so you're peeling off real frequencies that do work. So you throw that stuff on the ground or into the air, and you want to just burn it up. And so you're going to do a little process of maybe 30 seconds and just clean yourself off by sweeping it off with your hands and then throwing it on the floor in the air and burning it up. Mm. Then you're still not done. And I don't mean this is going to go on forever. You know, these are all just mere seconds or minutes. And a typical healing session, you know, might be 10 minutes. You know, right. Big deal. If you really want to get detailed in there, it can be longer if you want to put more energy in, or it could be even shorter. That's up to you. And so the last thing is, you want to make sure that you are grounded, because you got to come back into your body and do your day and be who you're going to be and all of that. So I do the same thing with me. I imagine my feet going straight into the ground, 10 feet. And I hang out in there until I feel solid and good. And then, you know, that could be, again, 30 seconds, could be a minute, it could be however long it takes. And then you come out of it and you're done. That's it. Session's over.
It's a great description. We need to take a quick break for a commercial announcement by Psychic Access Talk Radio. And we will be right back to continue with Dr. Art Carno, remote healer extraordinaire.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing, and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
And And we are back with Dr. Art Carnot, remote healer, who works with people all over the world. And you can visit his website at wirelesshealing.com on the internet. And we just finished talking about procedure for a remote healing session. What are the steps that Dr. Carnot goes through? And I find it great information for myself as well, because this material, according to Dr. Carnot, we can all learn how to do remote healing. We can all work with energy and practice at it. So this outline, I found it extremely helpful as kind of a structure to get into a healing session and to get out of it also as well, and make sure we take care of ourselves as well as the other person. I wanted to ask you, Art, about can we work on ourselves? Because you're talking about working on other people. Can we work on ourselves, and is the process different? And if so, how is that?
Yes, we can work on ourselves, absolutely, because our energy is the same as our clients, because we're all humans, or we're all animals. if we're including animals in this, and we all have this same type of energy that runs us or sparks us. So the same rules apply, yes. Now, I'll make a caveat to this in that healing yourself, and I do this all the time, I do a lot of self-healing because it's not always opportune to have somebody do that for you. Yes, now here's the caveat. It's not, if I'm going to make an example of something that maybe don't be led astray by this, but the example is if you have a piece of paper and you want to put it into a copy machine, and you make a copy, and then you take that copy and use that as your master and copy that, the more times you use the last copy to make the next copy, the weaker and less defined that copy is going to be. So, this may be a bad analogy, but I got my foot into it, so anyway, what I mean by that is when you heal yourself, you are using already a sick, I don't mean sick in a horrible way, but an imbalanced energy to work on an imbalanced energy. That's one thing. It's not quite as effective. The other thing is, when you're sick, you don't feel like doing it, okay? Because you don't feel well. You don't have all your resources together, and your focus isn't, you know, if you have a fever, you know, your focus isn't all that great. One of the rules of, not rules, but one of the things that I find to be certainly true is that you can get tired from doing an energy healing, no matter how much you protect yourself and so forth and what your intentions are. It's work. It's a task. So it's going to tire you out. You're going to be more tired after you're done than when you began. Now, you can also make intentions at the beginning to not be tired and to do as much as you can to counteract that. However, you're going to find, among energy healers who've been doing this a long time, that they have some ailments. If they're not taking care of themselves, they're doing a lot of energy healing, and they're not being the most resourceful, helpful person that they are with their lifestyle, they're going to be a little bit depleted, and they can get sick. So a lot of energy healers have health problems. I don't mean that as a warning to stay away from doing this. This is the most wonderful thing in the world. It's a skill that you will be so happy that you can do on yourself or others or whatnot. There is no reason not to, but I'm just saying as a means to healing yourself, it's one of the little bits of downside. But yes, absolutely, self-healing is a wonderful thing to know and do, and it will be profoundly helpful to you in your life.
Is there is it a different structure for, or do you follow the same structure that you described working on a person where you tune into another energy and you have a list made up and then you focus? Is it pretty much the same process except you're just doing it all on yourself?
It's pretty much the same. All the same rules apply. All you do is make the appropriate substitutions for who you're doing it on, which is you and not somebody else. And you certainly may have an easier time tuning into you. Although, I have to say, it's so easy to tune into another person. I'm not even going to make that distinction. It's just as easy to tune into somebody else as it is to tune into yourself. No, there's nothing different really about it. I haven't thought about this until you mentioned it. So, yes, you would get quiet. You would connect to the source. You would make your intention. You would make your list of what you wanted to do. Do your focus. It's all the same. Pretty much, basically, just use the same procedure, and you're good.
So, this kind of flows into something we wanted to cover about giving some secrets to the audience, and I want to make sure that we have enough time to really go over those. So, I'd like to just flow right into that, and then we can cover some other questions at the end if there's time. But it's kind of relates to me about self-healing, which is, you said that we can use energy every day in our life to improve our life. So you said you had three tips that you could give everybody, and I'm just dying to hear what they are, and I want to make sure we have plenty of time to hear about them. So would you be willing to go into that right now about your tips for us?
Yeah, sure, absolutely, absolutely. These tips are, I thought about, giving something that can be valuable to just your everyday life. And of course, it will help you if you do healing and so forth, and particularly on your, for you. This is for you, to better your life, your energy, and keep yourself, clean and pure, especially the first two of them. Well, all three, really. So the first one is how to access your power. Now, we discussed your navel area and an area where chi is. Chi is just your innate power, your energy source. And it's provided to you by the universal energy field, or the spark of life that we talked about. And you basically only have so much of it given to you innately, but we gather our energy from other places as well, from the sun and the earth and the food you eat and the ground and all of that, water. And if you didn't do that, you'd kick over pretty quick. So, those are also sources of energy. Now, the tip here is how to access and live, or at least momentarily, into your power. So, for instance, if you weren't in your power, your mind might be in your head trying to figure out a math problem, or how to get, which freeway exit to take, or whatever. You're going to be taken up with the energy of concentration on some task. Your totality of energy is not being accessed. You're not in balance when you're focusing and concentrating in your mind on some piece of work. If somebody came along and pushed you over, you'd fall over because you're just not even in your own body, basically. So here is where you can be in your own body. It's a resource. Now, we all have an aura that's a couple inches outside of our body. We can't see it or feel it most of the time. Some people can, but that aura also is an energy power. It protects us. It feeds us. So the tip here is, if you can send your mind, instead of being in your head or somewhere else, to your aura, which is like a little bubble around you, a couple inches covering your whole body from head to foot. If you focus on that area, the whole thing, you're going to be in your power. You're going to be emotionally balanced. Your brain's going to work better. Everything you do, physically, mentally, or whatever, is going to be empowered by having your mind rest outside of your on your aura like that. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. tip number one. I can't go into not necessarily any more detail. It's an easy thing to do. You just shift your mind from wherever it is to that outer area and go about whatever it is you need to do. Now, if you're upset emotionally and you're like, you know, a bit crazed, you shift that energy to that aura place, and all of a sudden you're going to feel calm and balanced. Hmm. And it's a subtle feeling, but it's a nice one, and it's very, very effective. So you just have to train yourself to kind of stay there as much as you can, and you'll feel the benefits of that. Okay, that's tip number one. Mm-hmm. Shall I go into, do you have any questions about that, or shall I go into
No, that sounds perfect so far. Excellent.
Okay. Now, I touched on this earlier, and I want to go back to it because it's a very important, and this is how to sweep your body of negative energy. And again, the purpose of this is, as we go out through our day and we walk amongst people, you're at the mall or you're walking down the street or you're talking to a friend on the phone or dealing with a service person or whatever it is, you're going to be picking up stray energy. It's just the way it is. And that stray energy is going to cling on you. Some of it will fall off. Some of it will absorb. And, you know, there'll be different sort of connectivity to that energy. And some of that energy you don't want. Some of it's like somebody else is having a bad day or whatever. But nevertheless, you don't want someone else's energy clinging on you anyway. So you're going to take your hands and, again, do that stripping motion. And you can do that many, many times a day. And it's a good idea if you have an encounter with somebody, conversation, or you've been outdoors amongst people and you come in, you're going to want to sweep yourself. Now, you don't have to get real crazy about this, but it's going to help you. It's going to help some of that energy that may get in there kind of deeply may stay in there for days, weeks, months, who knows. You just are kind of like washing your hands when you a few times a day. You're going to want to do this and wash the energy off your body. So and don't forget, burn it. When you sweep it, wherever it lands, you just burn it in your mind with a little fire. It takes a second. You're going to want to do this maybe when you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, just like brushing your teeth. It's just a good thing to do. Okay, that's number two.
And the last one, because we have about 3 minutes left, and I'm very, very interested in this last one as well.
Here goes. Yes. All right, this is a way to access information from your subconscious. If you want to know what the best vitamin is to take, if you want to know any thoughts about, you know, how's my gallbladder doing or whatever, you're going to want to know that information. So here's how to do this. It's like if you've heard of muscle testing to access or use a pendulum, you can do this with nothing. All you do is stand up. Your feet are spread 6 inches apart maybe, so you're kind of balanced, but not a wide stance. This is a stance so that if you can that allows you to sway backwards or allows you to sway forward with your eyes open, and you're going to think a thought. You're going to stand there. You're going to think a thought. Is this the best vitamin for me to take? And you're going to get a yes or no answer. That's the only way this is going to work. You ask yes or no questions, and you're going to see what happens. Your body is either going to sway forward, you give it a moment to do that naturally with gravity, or it's going to sway backwards. I have an agreement that when I sway backwards, that's no. When I sway forwards, that's yes. You're going to test this by standing in that position, and you're going to ask a yes question that you know the answer to. Is my name Arthur? And you should sway probably forward. That's a yes answer. And then test with a no answer that you know the answer to. And you will see which way you sway. Now, some people may be the opposite of that. They will sway forward for no and backwards for yes. But basically, that's it. You practice this. You stand there, and you're going to find that when with enough practice, it isn't pretty easy. It'll happen right away. You'll be able to get yes or no answers from your subconscious just by standing there. Anytime, anywhere, you can do this. And that is that.
That is perfect, Art. So we are coming to the end of our time, and as you can tell from our conversation, we could probably talk for another 2 hours, and I would still be learning more material from you, Art. So this is amazing, great stuff. I love the tips that you gave everybody, and I'm hoping for everyone who listens that you will contact Dr. Art Carno, who has not only enormous amount of wealth of information, but incredible healing powers as well, and is just able to fix almost everything, every ailment that I've ever come across for myself and every person I've ever sent to him. And we're just so honored to have you here. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It was an absolute pleasure and a lot of fun for me, actually.
Good, good. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Signing off to Dr. Art Carno.
Thank you very much, Dr. Nona Marie. That was an outstanding interview. And thank you also to Dr. Art Carno for joining us and sharing his wisdom with us. By all means, please visit wirelesshealing.com and learn more about Dr. Art Carno. Now, I would like to take a few moments to announce a couple of very important issues. Issue number one, first of all, we are not done. There is a second half, another hour to the show, where you can call to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We're going to announce that call-in number later, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. Folks, I got to tell you, last week's show, Alchemy in the Intermarriage, hosted by Maureen Holleran, was absolutely superb, a truly marvelous thing to listen to. It was just extremely interesting, and if you could not make it last week, then you would definitely need to run over to psychicaccesstalkradio.com and find it under the archives tab. You'll be glad that you did. It was certainly a treat. And also, while you're there, you'll probably think, wow, so-and-so would like this, or such-and-such needs to hear this. Don't let it stop there. By all means, reach out and share the link with your friends, with your family, with those people who could benefit from the love and light that we bring here on psychicaccesstalkradio.com. And if you're still not satisfied after perusing the archives, then we have psychicbloggers.com, where you can learn everything there is to know about expanding and enlarging your own psychic abilities. Learn about everything paranormal, reincarnation, soulmate seeking, etc. Find it all for free on psychicbloggers.com. If you're interested in a reading from the best, absolutely best professional psychics on the internet today, go to psychicaccess.com, where if you've never registered there before, you get a free 6-minute reading with any psychic of your choice. You can browse the profiles of several psychics, each one with a detailed profile for you to find out more about her or him. It is indeed an honor working with Doug and the Psychic Access team because of the high ethical standards required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. So if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, just be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com and we will be happy to help you out. Do you own a website, incidentally? If you do, by all means, visit us at psychicaccess.com/webmasters and check out the attractive dynamic banner ads and other marketing materials that we offer to you. You can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading for traffic, refer to psychicaccess.com. Again, for details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, by all means, invite your friends to join us in our chat room and to listen to The Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everyone. So spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Back to you, Nona.
So, anybody have any comments, feedback, observations about the show and material?
I do.
Yes.
Considering my the state of my physical being right now, which I don't want to bore. Well, you guys know what I'm talking about. I really took a. I tried to be very mindful of what he was saying. In fact, I even stood up at the last, even though my knee was killing me. I stood up 6 inches. What he said, about 6 inches, and going back and forth, and I said, "Is my doctor wrong?" about not clearing me for the silly surgery. Anyway, I loved, I'm not making a joke out of it. I really liked that. If it had to do with something, you know, should I take this vitamin or whatever? But also, he was excellent. It was an excellent interview. You interviewed him very well. Not only that, he has something to say, and I really respect his work. I also particularly liked what he was talking about, the Shi.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in the way back in the 80s. Back in the day. I went to, my sister was going to massage therapy school in San Diego at Pacific. It's a very well-known place where they learn acupuncture and all that too. So I was able to go there and for a really great fee, because she was a student, get some work done. And I'm always having problems mentally, emotionally. So I remember never hearing about it, but they were working on my shake. What's a she? So when he was talking about that, because it seems to come up through the years, time to time, that's a very important part of the area. That it always seems like it comes up. It's almost like the foundation or the structure. It's like a home, the foundation of it or something. Is that what I was getting right with what he was saying?
I think so, yes. And I think it's an important daily practice, really, almost like washing your hands, brushing your teeth. Grounding, right. Shielding is what I was taught back even in the 70s with any kind of metaphysical work or spiritual work, even with among the Native Americans, the first thing you did was connect with the earth and get grounded so you didn't fly off into outer space and shield before you opened yourself up to other energies. And then you also cleaned yourself afterwards. But I guess I'd kind of forgotten about that whole process. And I'm really glad that Art brought it up again, because it's sometimes like, you know, you should go for a walk in the morning or you should do certain things and you kind of forget to do it. And the way he put it, it was a great reminder for myself also to get a little bit more vigilant about that. I actually spend more time cleaning and shielding my property and my animals right now than I do myself. And I was listening to him thinking, when's the last time I've done that? And it's way too long.
Absolutely. And I, you know, it's interesting, Marika, Nona, because... Sorry, because that's exactly what it brought back to my attention, and it is important. And then we're the last person to take care of it, especially when you're, like you said, you walk around, things are bouncing off of you. But the sheet is the most important thing to really, and to get back into it. It's almost like getting back, like you said, the routine of it, but almost like getting addicted back into it for all the good, all the good reasons.
Exactly.
So I appreciated that. It was lovely. Really appreciate. Thank you for having this.
He was fabulous. So, Steve or Stephen, anybody have any observations, comments from the interview?
I do. I really enjoyed it, first of all. So thank you for doing the interview. Really great guest. I was interested about his comments on breathing. He said that, you know, a great way to connect is to do some deep breathing. So I was really excited that he pointed that out, because I was taught that breathing techniques are really important when we're doing psychic work, and particularly when we want to channel, we want to connect with spirit and channel information or channel healing, because in effect we are heightening our electromagnetic connection to the astral plane. So I was taught that we are in effect electromagnetic beings. In other words, we have a physical body, but we have a soul or an astral body that exists on the astral plane above, and the two interact through electromagnetism, that the sun is the masculine positive energy, or the positive end of the battery, and the moon is the receptive or feminine end of the battery, the two polar opposites, and that we have to, or we constantly use our electromagnetic energy to interact with our own souls. But when we want to project even higher and connect with spirit guides, etc., or channel healing, that we have to breathe deeply, because that alters the or heightens the electromagnetic connection.
Well said, and great observation. That's very, very interesting. I never thought of taking it that far, and I think you're absolutely right about all of that. And it is true that when we connect with other spirits and other dimensions, we are really stretching ourselves thin sometimes. So really important to keep feeding the body in a way.
Yeah, and I think that good breathing is part of the protection that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. You said that we should shield and protect ourselves. I think that good quality breathing is another technique for protecting oneself. And I know after a full day with clients, I like to go for a walk or do yoga, or even if it's been a really long day and I don't have time to go and exercise and be outdoors, then I'll just lie on the lawn. And just lying on the lawn for a couple of minutes really grounds you. You can feel your energy shift. And I think as well, as you said before, washing, having a shower, having a bath is the first thing I do when I get back to my home. I have a shower and cleanse my energy, because water cleanses, obviously. And it's another good technique for psychic protection.
Yeah, excellent. I love what you said about the lawn, too, because I had spoken to Dr. Art Carnell before about the new earthing products that are out now, which made me sad that we have to have such products, that we're in an office so much that we literally have to get a pad that we can plug into the earth and then sit on or put it under our hands while we're working in order to feel connected to the earth and get rebalanced in our electromagnetic field. Yep. And Art was saying he just absolutely adored the earthing pads, that they were fabulous. And after he was talking about that, I remember I made a special point to walk around more barefoot and indeed lay on the lawn more as well. So
Absolutely. Anything, lying on a beach,
right?
Being in the woods, being in the mountains. Animals are incredibly earthing as well. And interestingly, I was taught by one of my teachers in particular that when there's an eclipse, you should be in water. Ideally, the way to minimize or manage the effects of an eclipse is to be in water. So the ancients would say as well that, if you can, be in the bath when there's an eclipse, because the frequencies change dramatically and electromagnetic frequencies find it difficult to travel through water. So it's the best way to avoid the impact of an eclipse or the energy shift. Yep. You be in the bath and be in the bath with a good book for a couple of hours when the eclipse is at its peak. And they say that minimizes the challenging or malefic effects of an eclipse. But again, water and electromagnetic frequency.
Can you do that when you're having a bad astrological transit?
Well, yes, you could, because you would be minimizing the impact of the stellar frequencies upon your human body and your existence or experience on the earth plane. But the problem with that is that an eclipse, for example, is extremely powerful. It really hyperstimulates every person, every entity, and it lasts for a determined amount of time. So on such and such a date, I need to be in the bath for 2 hours or 2.5 hours, however long the eclipse lasts. But the problem with a transit is that it's just a transit, and a transit doesn't pack much power anyway. Mm-hmm. So transits don't have a huge effect, and also they're generally, unless it's the moon, they're generally longer lasting. So you'd be in the bath for a week,
right,
or a couple of days. You come out like a prune.
Well, great observations. So I think we have an announcement about the calls. Is that right?
That's right. I'm extremely happy to see everybody's excited to get on the air, but we're not going to be taking calls until another 7-8 minutes or so. So we ask that you call back in about 7 or 8 minutes. I'm going to announce the call-in number at that time. So we're going to get to you in just a little bit.
Excellent. Thank you, Stephen.
Sure.
And what did you think of Dr. Carnell's material? Any comments or observations?
Oh, yeah. I was really excited about his observations relating energy to mass and matter. I'm really stimulated by the idea that things like thoughts and emotions can have a mass. mm-hmm. can have a weight, can physically impinge upon reality. And this is not so far-fetched as it sounds, is it? Because certainly while a thought exists in your mind, it does have a mass, though negligible. You know, it has a mass in the form of the neurotransmitters and the things of that nature that transmit the thought, that image it for you. So the notion that these complex mental processes have mass of their own, in my opinion, I think it's a pretty important, I don't want to call it a law of spiritual science, but it's something I think that strikes at the core of psychism. Mm-hmm. And spirituality. So I liked this idea, and I think that's I've read more than one authority, sort of a scholastic authority on the subject, relate this mass of a thought to astral substance, and a sort of an astral material, an astral cell, in fact, a smaller building block in a larger astral body. And so the idea that all of my experiences, and indeed even all of the experiences of the collective, as the idea that all of that can have a mass inside of me somehow, it's a very provocative idea.
It is.
And furthermore, I think that, you know, yeah, for sure, having Dr. Carno on for us tonight, that's notable, it's noteworthy, healing somebody from a distance. Wow, that's remarkable. Mm-hmm. But I think at some point, you know, hundreds of years from now, at some point, it's going to be so common as to be unnoteworthy. Remote healing and things of that nature.
There have been some scientific experiments also along these lines decades ago, even not a happy experiment that I like to read about, but powerful. They took a litter of rabbits and sent them to different cities and hooked up the mom to, I believe, an EEG machine that measures brain waves. I think it's, I can't remember if it's EEG or EKG. I always get mixed up on those two. And every time they put one of the babies down, euthanized it, the mother registered it in another city, a bunny.
Sure.
And that, to me, was, you know, massive evidence that with even with thoughts like bunny thoughts, we are connected and we are impacted by what is done to others around us, which also means we can impact those around us as well. And more recently, I believe Matrix Energetics talks about this, that we're able now through science to observe the protons and neutrons in the nucleus of an atom. And the observation has been that the second we look at them, they react to the energy of being observed and literally change their orbit. So we actually, what Einstein said is that there's no such thing as an objective observation, because the second we look at something, it's getting filtered through us and our brain and our perceptions and everything else. And now science has caught up with Einstein, saying that is actually true, that the moment we look at any substance, any material, it changes its orbit, so to speak, its energy field, simply by the fact that we're paying attention to it. So the fact that we can observe that in science and measure that, to me, is even stronger evidence that the concept of remote healing is not at all far-fetched, that literally, I mean, how do protons and neutrons know that we're looking at them? They've got to feel the energy of the thought or the intention that we are observing them, not anything else, because they're so small we can't really even think about them. So I think you're right that this is not such a far-fetched idea and is going to become less and less far-fetched. But I can see the American Medical Association going berserk with this kind of material. Back in the 30s and 40s, I knew them when they were 70 years old in the 1970s, worked with radionic machines, which broadcast energy to people and healed them. It was an early form of remote healing, which supposedly was a hoax, and yet the AMA seized all those machines and smashed them and outlawed radionics, even though supposedly it didn't work, which I found such an interesting contradiction. So there's been a history of this, but I do wonder what will happen if it does catch on more and more, because our medical profession is based on the drug industry. And imagine if drugs became fairly obsolete. Yikes.
I'm sure that in a last-ditch bid to survive, the pharmaceutical industry will find some way to inveigle itself into the budding technology to harness it and all of that good nature. But it'll only be partially effective because pretty soon people will see the traditional way of doing medicine through surgery as essentially about as elegant as working with stone tools, which is basically what it is, because today we keep trying to split reality to find the smallest piece of it. And we find particles that make protons look like boulders. And eventually we're going to plunge down into this small, minuscule eternity, and we'll find a substrate that can account for this congruence between, for example, you know, twins who are separated by geography, but who know, instinctively know when the other one has, for example, gotten in a car crash or something of that nature. We'll understand a substrate that connects all of reality. And this will be in the realm of physics, but we here in the arena of metaphysics can smile and say, well, you know, we've been telling you people that for a long time.
Yeah, right.
Well, I think we're about to that part of the show where we should announce the call-in number, everyone. That number is, 724-444-4851, 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So you should hear the show while you're waiting, so just try to relax and listen to the show. So we can only take one call. One question per caller. We ask you that you could be concise if you can. Now, I have a caller from Florida. Hello, Florida.
Hi. Hello. I called a couple weeks ago in regards to a guy I'm involved with. I'm getting a lot of mixed signals from him. I want to know what is going on.
Okay. One second while I pick up on your situation. You say you've been getting mixed signals from him?
Yeah, is it like, do you want me, is he breaking up with me, or does he want to stay? Like, what is it?
Yeah, that's got to be confusing. Okay, one second while I pick up on your situation here, okay? We're going to find out what he's thinking and what he's desiring from this relationship, most of all. And plus, we'll get an idea of how this will translate into his behaviors, more than likely. Okay, it's coming through now. Please bear with me. Yeah, first of all, let me just say this. I would not count this relationship to be stable at all. The Trump number 10, the Wheel of Fortune, tells me that, you know, his behavior probably is going to get even more bizarre. For one thing, I don't mean to be negative. Please forgive me for that. But I got to tell you right off the bat, there's not much here emotionally that would make me forecast longevity for this relationship at all. Do you see? So I want you to be realistic about the chances here. I'm not saying that things are not going to unfold between you romantically or not going to improve, but I would expect improvements to be temporary. I would expect there to be a roller coaster instead of a stability, an emotional roller coaster, so to speak. And so is he serious about breaking up? Eventually, yes, but he'll probably do it on his own time. I wouldn't be surprised, for example, if he does decide to break up and then decides at some later point that he wouldn't mind taking the game into extra innings, so to speak. Do you see what I'm driving at here? So, you know, if it looked at in terms from that perspective, if I were you, I would prepare for him to break it off and to keep things broken off, unfortunately. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to be so negative. I'm very sorry about that, but, so, you know, we have to... Yes, ma'am.
So just don't expect anything.
No, ma'am, that's the best situation right there, because I tell you what, once you release your attachment to this relationship, it would not surprise me at all if he started showing more interest in you. So you've got that to look forward to. But meanwhile, if you continue to cling to it, for sure, without a doubt, him, like someone who knows the power that he wields, you know, he's going to continue treating your relationship as if it's a thing of convenience for him.
I understand.
Taking the initiative here, the only way to improve your situation is to take the initiative, to be unpredictable. Yes, ma'am. You're following me. I wish you well on that endeavor. Okay, I hope everything turns out well for you on that one. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. I believe now we have a caller from Florida for Maureen.
Hello. Thank you, Stephen. Hello, Florida. Hello. Hello. I know you're there. Florida. Beautiful Florida. Okay, let's see. How about, well, wait for it. Maybe, well, Florida. Or how about another state that might be there? Okay. Da, da, da.
We're going to get you somebody, Maureen.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, somebody's going to come through here.
Somebody wants to talk to me. Okay. You know what? In the meantime, I'll just feel okay. Okay. So, what is that? I'll just wait for you to.
Yeah, I'm just ciphering it here. I think we have a call here. Is it from Ohio?
Massachusetts.
We've got a traffic jam here on the wire.
The wirings are getting crossed.
Yeah, I think it's Ohio. Let's just see who's on the line here. They'll tell us.
Yeah, who are they? The big people in the sky. Well, okay. Well, I'm saying hello, Florida. Hello, Florida. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, hello, hello there. Hello. What's your name, please?
Patsy.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Pretty good, and you?
I'm fine, thank you. And what can I help you with?
I have a question for my friend Greg. He's been having a hard time getting a job, and he has a second interview this Tuesday. I was wondering how that was going to pan out.
Okay, so he's been really trying, doing his best, and he's in a, I got, looks like he did, has been getting some bad news, or not good news in the recent past, like things have just not been going, but I do see him really right now, he's really taking control of the direction he wants, the direction he's going in, and you know, sometimes it's a blessing if he maybe didn't get the job or other opportunities recently. I feel that there's a good reason for it, because I see, you know, I see he's heading in, he looks like he's taking his personal power back. He's juggling a little bit about what area to go or what avenue to go on. So my feeling is I see absolutely is there's going to be a turnaround within the next. And when I say this, I'm not saying you have to wait. He has to wait this long, but there's within a 4-week period of time from now to 4 weeks, I see a burden will be off his back. And that's not the burden. The burden I'm talking about is not having a job. Then he can put some burden on his back if he wants to, working too much. But I do feel that he is, I want to encourage, or if you talk to him, encourage him to kind of not juggle too much and focus on what he really wants to go for. I feel that he's underestimating his own abilities. I know that it's been hard. Sometimes we just want a job. But by juggling a little bit, sometimes something won't get as much attention. But I absolutely see things turning around for him. It looks very positive.
And he wants a job badly, and he's not handling rejection well at all.
Well, I know. But you know what? This is the way. Sometimes the things we think we don't need are the things we need the most. So if he was to get a job quickly, it may have been a job that may have lasted only a couple days or weeks, and that would have been back to where he started. I feel where he's heading is getting a really great job where he'll be there, and he'll be appreciated as well.
Okay. Well, I'm going to see him at the end of the month, so I'll definitely encourage him to continue.
Yeah,
to go.
But I'm putting good energy out there, and you can too. But it's okay. But within a 4-week period, he'll be doing just fine. Okay,
Patsy.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great night. Bye bye.
You too. Bye.
Thank you very much. You can find Maureen at psychicaccess.com. Next, we have a caller from Georgia for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Georgia?
Keisha.
Hello, Keisha. Hello, Keisha. How are you doing?
Yeah, Keisha calls from Georgia.
Hi, Keisha. How are you?
Okay.
Good.
I want to...
We're getting feedback, actually, Keisha.
Someone I have in my past, named LaShana, and I helped her financial in the past. And I want to know if she come back and ask me for financial help again, later on down the line. It didn't work out last time.
What's the name again?
Come back.
Tell me the name of your friend again.
LaShana. LaShana Andrews.
LaShana. Okay, so you want to know if Lashana is going to come to you again for financial assistance. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me see. Yeah, I feel so, for sure. But I want you to be a little cautious here, because I there's something not quite right about this situation, and I'm not saying that she is deceiving you or not giving you the right information, but I feel as though you need to also look out for your, or particularly look out for your own interests, look out for yourself, because there's something not quite on the level about this situation. I do feel that she has ongoing financial difficulties, and I also feel that there are other entanglements. I feel like she has financial issues that go beyond herself, and it feels to me that those issues actually reside in her family circle. So these financial challenges are involving her, but also involving other members of her family, and for sure it's problematic at the moment, and I do feel for sure that she's going to come and ask you for more. I feel that you need to be cautious. I have this feeling that it may not turn out well if it continues, and she does have other options. You're not the only option, and I don't feel that you should just have the sentiment that you're obliged to assist. And I also feel that you don't have a full or accurate picture of her circumstances anyway. Does that make sense to you?
What's her other options?
Sorry?
You say other options. So what do you mean by that?
I feel that she has other options for support. I don't feel that you're the only source of support. So by that, I'm saying to you, don't feel that if you don't provide this assistance, that's it. She's not going to get help, because she does have other options.
Okay.
That's another reason why I don't feel that you should be obliged. And I really feel that you need to be very cautious with this situation, because if it continues, I see it being problematic. And as I said, I don't feel you're being given the full picture anyway. Okay?
Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to help her again, because I helped her a while back. And I ended up being disappointed, missed out in the bank and stuff. So I'm not going to help her again.
I feel for sure that she's going to come asking for help again. I really do. But it's your choice. But I think if you listen back to the reading, I've tried to give you a very clear steer against providing more support. But it's always your choice. You have the free will to decide if you will or you will not. But she's certainly going to come asking, okay?
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. You can find Steve at psychicaccess.com. Just to repeat, the call-in number is 724-444-4851. Now, we also ask, in addition to restricting your call to one question, please, by all means, just ask a question for yourself only. We cannot do readings for questions for your friend or for your relative. Please fashion the question so that it refers to you and your life. And we thank you in advance for cooperating with that. Now, we also have a caller from Canada, Alberta, Canada, for Dr. Nona Marie.
Hello, Alberta, Canada. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Naomi. I'm having a problem with my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. We've been together, and we have a child. We've been together for 5.5 years. And we fought and broke up based on the fact that I looked at his Facebook and saw some sexy texting with a woman. Mm-hmm. And he flipped out and left me. And then during this whole week, we've been kind of negotiating like a separation.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm having second thoughts about the separation because even though we fight very, very strongly, I also love him very much. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's going to happen.
And what is his first name, please?
His name is Giovanni.
Giovanni. So I would say to you that I believe you already know this, that Giovanni is quite a flirt. And
yes.
He always has been. He always will be. And it okay. is somehow important to his psyche. I'm not endorsing it, and I'm not condemning it. I'm just saying it's like someone perhaps who needs to be on stage. It's something that really feeds him quite a bit. And the good news in some way is that when he flirts, it kind of gets you off the hook that you don't have to pay so much attention to him. He's kind of a high maintenance person. So I would say to you, if you're willing to come to peace with this, that sometimes when you're involved more with family and with children and with your own life, he is a little bit like a kitten, that if you don't pay attention to him, he will go and unroll all the toilet paper and do something that just kind of, you know, is a little bit attention grabbing. So one mm-hmm. of the ways that he takes care of himself is flirting. And that really then comes down to whether with your love for him, you can relax with that and let him be a flirt. My sense of him is that if things get really, really bad, that he will not stay with you and have a long-term affair on the side. He's not that way. My sense of him is that he will break up with you if that were to happen. So I would say to you then, if you're going to be with him, you have to accept who he is. He's this flirt. In that case, you can get along just fine. I do think that you're lacking getting some attention yourself right now, that you could use someone paying attention to you and it's not coming from him. And I think really to me, that's more the heart of the matter of what's going on with you right now is you're feeling a little bit abandoned and you get on him a little bit for that. And then he lashes out because he doesn't like to feel controlled in any way whatsoever, but particularly in this area. So I would say that you need more of a support network to make this relationship work, along with allowing him to be a flirt. You need either a group of women friends or male friends that make you feel 100% when he can't give you what you want. And this is true, by the way, in almost every relationship. I don't think we can be there 100% all the time, 365 days out of the year for our partner. And I don't think you expect that either, but I think you've gotten a little bit forgetful in terms of taking care of yourself. So, mm-hmm. and that's not meant to be a criticism. It's more that if you restore that balance, I think then his flirtations would not rock your boat so much. And when your boat is not rocked and you're more balanced, he does not react so strongly. So it's kind of rests in your hands, this relationship right now, because he is not going to stop flirting. And you're the one that's going to me, have to make the adjustments to have the relationship continue at this point. Somewhere down the line, he may have to make some other adjustments as well. But right now, I don't think that he is willing to change or even can change at this point. If he was a dog, I would tell you, you know, I think he's a dog and you just need to give up on it. But he doesn't feel like a dog. You know, he's a good person in many ways, but these are some of his weaknesses. And one of them is needing to flirt, needing attention, and needing to feel wanted by other women, no matter what. He still goes through that, even when you guys are perfect. And in some way, I think you've enjoyed that in the past when you were feeling better and you had more play in your life. But right now, it's wearing on you.
It is.
Yeah. So
my
honestly,
is not right now. And so it's just very stressful. I don't feel myself and it's hard to get.
Right.
I'm very worried right now.
Yeah. And he is not. He is more of a play partner than a supportive partner. So when you need support, He's not great. But when you need somebody to play with and be in a good mood about life with, he's really great. He's not a depressed person. He's not a downer. He's always ready for an adventure. So it's kind of measuring up what he has to offer you and deciding if you want to be okay with that. And I would say for now, it's okay. I do think in about 2 more years, you're going to get sick of it, though. I think in about 2 more years, you're going to want somebody who's a little bit more stable and more down to earth and will be a little bit less fun. But for now, I would say don't chop this off. Don't guillotine the relationship. Don't end it. Just let it ride out a little bit more. But your main work is to get more support in your life and not from him, because he can't give it to you. So do that first. That's a skill you need anyway. And then ride this out a little bit longer and see where it goes.
Okay.
Yeah? You're doing okay. This is a good learning experience for you. And I don't feel any horrible, big, bad event coming up. But I do feel with you learning to adjust like this, it's going to improve your life in general, not just in this relationship.
I believe so. Do you see any pregnancies coming soon?
No, towards the end of next year, there is a possible pregnancy towards the end of next year, around September of next year, actually.
Okay.
All right, sweetheart. Thank you for calling. And if you have any other questions, call back on Psychic Access and we'll talk again.
Thank you so much. You put my mind at ease. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much. You can find Nona Marie at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from Virginia. Hello, Virginia.
Hello.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How may I help you?
I have two gentlemen, kind of, sort of, in my life. One is a high school sweetheart that I reconnected with. We dated when we were 15. We're now 52. I love him a lot, but just it's kind of a roller coaster, and we're in two different states. Then there's a gentleman that I've known since November who works with me. And I feel like both of them care about me. I'm more interested in the first one that I talked to you about, but just want to see where you think either one of them is going.
Okay. One second here, and while I sort of pick up on what's going to happen here, okay? Let's see what we got. I tell you what, I mean, judging from what I see here, your chances with gentleman number one, the gentleman with whom you have a history, do you see? That, to me, seems to be the one that will bear you the most fruit for relationship. The other relationship seems to offer more problems and less reward. What I see with that one, what's behind door number two, as it were, seems to be a lot of maybe even hassle, for lack of a better word, maybe even hassle. Running around and trying to make things right, make things perfect. But behind door number one, with the gentleman that you know more, no longer, I see that there's definitely more good fortune in the emotional realm. There's probably going to be a lot more genuine affection. And I think it's going to lead to something a lot more serious romantically. And certainly your chances of getting what you want are better with gentleman number one, in my opinion, okay?
Why is he so standoff? I mean, it's like it's not going anywhere. We've been reconnected again for a year and a half, and it's like a roller coaster. Good person, but, you know, he'll come forward. Then it's like, oh, God, I'm scared. Let me pull back again. So do you see us ever getting over that hump?
I do, but I'm not sure how long it's going to take. I'm not saying it's going to be a fast process. All I can tell you right now is that judging the short-term future, judging the future, the development with him is going to be better than with the new guy. I would expect him to improve. I really would. The reason why he's delaying, taking his time, well, I don't want to say he's a bit on the stubborn side or anything, but let's just say he could be set in his ways, for example, could be a little cautious, and he's got his own agenda. I'm definitely not saying he's Mr. Right. I'm not saying he's Prince Charming, but compared to the second option, I favor him over the second option. And it's my opinion that you'll have a better romantic experience with him than with Gentleman B. Now, that's a relative statement, do you see? Because, you know, they both can be pretty bad or both can be pretty good. All I'm saying here is that with Gentleman A, it's going to be better than with Gentleman B. And I would expect Gentleman A to start responding more affectionately and to start demonstrating more affection in the future. And if he's not right now, then he's just playing a bluff, okay? That's all.
Yeah, God's well, I really told him not to, even though I didn't want to, I told him not to call me anymore because I was tired of the roller coaster ride. So I'm just kind of waiting it out to see if he will call.
Well, you're not done with him yet, trust me. He's going to call. He might take his own time, but he'll call you. You just hang in there, okay? This is an evolution we're in here. You're not going to get any progress overnight. It's going to take some time here, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Have a great one.
You too.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Now, we have a caller from Massachusetts, I do believe, for Maureen.
Thank you, Stephen. Hello, Massachusetts.
Hello,
Mass.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Maureen. Hello.
Hi, is this Stephen?
Yes, Maureen, it's me.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Good, good, good.
Good.
I got a very specific question for you.
My
cousin died, and we want to know if he was murdered or did he commit suicide.
Wait, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. You asked?
My cousin died.
Your cousin? Right.
Died. We want to know whether he committed suicide or whether he was murdered.
Is this just a recent thing that just happened since his cousin?
No, this happened last year.
Okay. Well, okay, I'll see what I can feel this thing situation out. You know, it looks to me like he's extremely depressed. Okay, now I really have a hard time saying murder or suicide, but what my feeling is and what I'm seeing, he was very, very depressed. So I don't know what, and it looks like he was very depressed, but I also feel that he was a hard worker, but then he was carrying too much of a burden. And so I'm going to say this. I don't want to say murder. I don't want to say so much or go into that because I'm not an investigative reporter, detective. However, and you would know this, it just feels like he was extremely depressed and he worked very hard to deal with it, but he just couldn't handle it. So, but things are not what they appear to be. There's something I feel that you should investigate more. Even no matter what I'm saying, I feel there's something more. I don't know what you personally feel about this, but he does appear, or he did at the time he was alive, that he was pretty down. However, it could have been also if he was around certain people, they could have used that as his vulnerability. But I don't see someone murdering him, actually. But, Stephen, I would take into consideration what your inner voice is saying, too, if you're checking into this. I don't know. Did they say it was suicide?
Yes, they said it was suicide. Some people claim that he was murdered. So,
well, I know, but what did the court? What does the report say? Suicide?
The report, inconclusive.
Okay, so it doesn't say either way. That's really it. I would look further. He does look extremely depressed, but I would look further if you feel that need. Absolutely. But to me, he could have, you know, done himself in because he was scared. I don't know, because I'm not, you know, a professional in that. But I would look further into it, Stephen. Definitely.
They could have ingested something.
But there's something interesting about this, but I would look further into it. If you're feeling it, I trust your inner voice. Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. I hope I helped you.
Yeah. Thank you very much and have a great night. And say
thank you, Stephen.
Hello to your co-host and others.
Thank you, Stephen, very much. Have a, and okay, I'll bye. Talk to you soon again. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you very much. You can find Maureen at psychicaccess.com. Definitely go give her a visit. You'll be glad that you did. Now we have a caller from Ohio for Steve.
Sherry from Ohio.
Hi, Sherry. How are you doing?
Because it's been unmuted.
It sounds really bad, Sherry. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes, Sherry. What's your question?
Yeah. I'm calling from Ohio. I'd like you to tell me something about my sister. I feel that she's awful ill, awful sick.
Okay. Let me see. I tell you this. The short answer is, I don't feel that she has a good understanding of her own health at this time. So I do feel that there's a problem, but I don't feel she's aware of it. So I think that the opportunity here, Sherry, is to help her to understand how important it is that she gets herself checked out. Quite simply, as I said, she feels that she's fine, but there is a problem on the horizon. And the sooner she sees a doctor and really gets things checked out, then the sooner she can address that. And obviously, where health's concerned, the quicker we identify a problem and address it, the better. Okay?
Because she's a smoker. She has that COPD.
Okay. Well, you need to talk to her. All right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck, Sherry. Take care.
Yes.
Thank you very much. You can find Steve at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Idaho for Nona.
Hello, Idaho. This is Nona. How can I help you?
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
My name's Tina.
Hi, Tina. What can I do for you?
Hi. I don't even know where to start. I'm just kind of lost, you know, like, I don't know what I need to do with my life right now. I was in a relationship for 14 years, and that ended, and I packed up my stuff, and I was in Washington, moved to Idaho, and, you know, I got a job, everything seems good, and I don't know, I don't know what to do. I'm just lost and not happy.
Got it. So, first of all, I don't think you're in a bad place at all. And I think you have a little bit of depression going on. And I think that's totally fine and appropriate to have a little bit of depression. Not, you know, you're not overwhelmed by it, but you're also not doing, you know, the super fake positive routine either. And it does feel to me like you're in a bit of a recovery and a turnaround period. And I actually feel that things are going to go very well for you. Not until about February or March, but in the meantime, it does feel to me that your big homework assignment is play and have fun, because you've kind of forgotten how to do that, number one. Number two, I don't think you even know what's fun for you anymore.
That's true.
Right? So,
and well, you know, I want to do stuff, but then like anxiety sets in, or, you know, I mean, it's just,
I understand.
And I try to think positive all the time. I'm so optimistic about everything, and then it just blows up in my face.
Yeah, so first of all, I don't think
failure.
You need to be optimistic about everything. That's exhausting, and it's not real life. You know, when we have sun all the time, we call that a desert sometimes. So it's okay to have some weather. I don't think you have to be super positive. I think when you were younger, you used to get buried in depression. You will not do that now. You're a stronger person, and you can get a little sad, and you can manage it, and it will come and go. And that will be better for your immune system as well, to let those emotions kind of flow a little bit. When we get older, we do change our ideas of fun. You know, when we're younger, we want to go to a mosh pit and dance till 3 o'clock in the morning. And then when we're older, we want to sit under a tree and read poetry. And that's more fun. So I do think you need to find out for you what is fun. I would also strongly suggest that you look up emotional freedom therapy and do that work on yourself, because you've got some neurological patterning right now from a lot of stress, and that neurological patterning literally is hardwired as a thought pattern. It's kind of like when we overuse muscles, they get really big and strong. So when we over have an emotion or stress or trauma, we get certain neural pathways that become sort of these bully neural pathways, and we plop into them with triggers and very quickly fall into old feelings or old habits. And the anxiety that you have right now is old. It's not present time. And if you do some emotional freedom therapy, you can look up tapping.com and tappingsolutions.com. There's videos on YouTube, and you can do the videos with the along with the person who's presenting the video. So it's kind of like a Simon Says sort of session on yourself. And emotional freedom therapy, it might look a little silly, but there is a ton of clinical research behind it, showing that it is extremely effective. And there is a mainstream version of it now in therapy called EMDR. So that's how well-researched and well-tested out this technique has been, that it has made a watered-down version, has made it into mainstream therapy. I think that will help you with your anxiety feelings, which are more of a knee-jerk reaction now than an actual reality-based thing. So if you could give yourself a few months to heal, do emotional freedom therapy and play and have fun, you will see life turning around. It's going to be a slow climb right now, but I think by February, March next year, you will not believe how nice life is and how good it is for you. There's a lot of great news coming around the corner at you. And if there wasn't, I would not make up a story for you just to make you feel better. I really believe in facing our lives and facing the truth. So I actually think you're in a great spot. It just doesn't feel that good right now. It's a little bit like coming home from a war. You're out of it, but it's kind of like, well, now what do I do? And it takes a little bit of time to reacculturate yourself to your new living situation. So look around. On there's a website called Meetup, M-E-E-T-U-P, and it goes by geographics. It's a free site. And you type in something there like hiking or meditation or gourmet food, anything. And it will show you local groups that meet up about that topic, and they usually charge like $5 to $10 to join them. Very, very inexpensive. And it's a great way to meet people and go have fun. Really inexpensive, very safe. You join a group, you don't have to show up, you don't have to do anything. You can just sort of peek in the window for a while and then decide. So I would encourage you to do that also, along with the emotional freedom therapy. And if you need any further help or some follow-up, please, please come see me on Psychic Access, and I'd be thrilled to see if I could check in with you again and help you out some more.
Great. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, bye.
Thank you very much. That was an excellent reading. You can find Nona Marie at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from Ohio. Hello, Ohio.
Hello, Cindy from Ohio. Hello.
Hi. How are you doing? How may I help you?
I'm calling to see if you see me getting a job next week through a company called iForce.
Okay. This is a job called iForce, you said?
Yes. It's a temp service I'm going to go to next week to sign up with them to try to get a job at Odd Lots with them.
Okay. Okay. Let's see what we got here. One second while I pick up on that for you, okay?
Okay.
I gotta say, I don't want you to get your hopes up about this, about getting like permanent employment from this, because I'm not sure that the iForce experience is going to be all that fruitful for you. I'm not sure exactly why quite yet. The picture is still forming. However, I just don't see it producing a permanent or maybe even a temporary job. Perhaps when you get there, it might not be to your liking. I do get a feeling that there will be some Mars energy coming in. There might be other people there who grate against you, perhaps, or who you grate against even. However, I wouldn't want to get your hopes up about this, and I would want you to prepare for the idea that you might have to go to this working extra hard and things of that nature, because I want to stress that what we're talking about now is just the way the situation is going to evolve. So basically, when you go into the I-Force next, in within the next week or two, you'll know, hey, this is going to be more challenging than I thought. I'm going to have to buckle down here. And then you'll be able, perhaps, to get a better result. But the way things are right now, you know, I don't think you're going to get quite the result you were expecting, okay? So you're going to have to go in there and actually just be prepared to double your effort and do the best job possible and hope for the best there. And in fact, you know, it might not even be to your liking. So, I'm not sure if I-Force is going actually to wind up being, you know, the work for you or the work where you'll wind up settling into, okay?
You see me going to work anywhere that within the next couple weeks or whatnot?
I specifically addressed this question for this one enterprise. Now, other companies, sure, there is a great chance that you'll get offered employment by one of them, and that could be why you know I'm getting very strongly that you're not going to be going to I-Force, because there could possibly be some other or sweeter deal. Certainly what you don't want to do is to despair or worry. One thing I also see quite clearly is that, you know, you will be taken care of. The universe isn't going to let you slip through the cracks. So you will have a good steady employment to come your way pretty soon. I know it can't get here quickly enough, but I don't see you in the street starving. I definitely don't see that, okay? You're going to get something pretty soon. All right?
You didn't have any job September.
I'm sorry, I didn't really catch that. And unfortunately, I can only answer one question per call. So why don't you give us a call back at psychicaccess.com, and we'll be glad to explore the issue for you and all of its ramifications. Sounds like a complicated issue, but unfortunately now it can only take one call, okay? One question.
All right, I'll call you back. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, we have a call now from, where are we at here?
Florida.
Thank you, Mark.
It's okay. Another Florida state. I got another Florida. Hello, Florida.
I might not be the job.
Hello, Florida?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hi there. Aunt, what's your name, please?
Lisa.
Hi, Lisa, and what can I help you with?
Oh, hi. I wanted to know when you see my finances improving and when you see me relocating.
You wanted to know when I see your finances improving? I can only answer one question because of our time restraint here. I can only do one. So, is that the one? When you're
finances? Yes.
Okay, yes. Got it. All right, then. Improvement of your finances. Well, okay. This is what I'm seeing is I see you getting getting some insight, like a student would, but also not maybe conventional, but learning something that will later bring your finances up. It would be something that would help you with you know, finding out some insight on something if you're going to go towards a business or if you need to get some more insight on how to market, something of that nature. The thing of it is, what I absolutely do see within the next 5 weeks, things are going to take a really good turnaround in your finances. I don't see you having such a fear of poverty, and it's a fear I'm talking about, but I just feel that you're going through some relationship stuff, but if you can put that aside, because that's pretty intense, if you can put that aside and forge on like you are, I see unconventionally, there's something going on that's very financially fulfilling. I don't know exactly what you're doing or what you do, but yes, they're going to be improving quite a bit. And it's because of you. It's not because I'm saying, you know, wave a magic wand, there you have it. I just feel that sometimes your relationship, personal issues get a little bit mixed up, and sometimes that's when you stop. But I absolutely see you getting back into doing something more creative or going back and getting some more knowledge about how to do something more creative. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I hope
thank
I helped you
so much.
I thank you for calling. Good night.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. You can find Maureen at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Georgia for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Georgia? Georgia, are you with us? Do we have a caller from Georgia? Can you hear me, Stephen?
Yes, yes, yep, you definitely have audio. We've got California online.
Oh, California. Okay, no worries. Who's calling from California? California, can you hear me?
Dominique.
Hello, Dominique. How are you doing?
Well, thank you. What's
Good.
Your name?
My name's Steve, Dominique. How can we help you?
Hi, Steve. I would like to know what comes up for you in my romantic sexual life.
I think it's good. I don't feel as though it's been good, in the sense that I feel very conflicted with you in recent times. In other words, I don't feel as though you have felt good about relationships and romance in recent times. You really sort of feel as though you've been turned upside down and not feeling good about relationships generally. But I do feel as though the situation
is... Do you mind if I comment? There's somebody in the background, like, moving dishes or something, and I can't quite hear you
all the way,
Steve. I don't know
whether, Dominique, it might be interference. We had another caller that called in before you, and we took that call... But the person wasn't responding. I think what's happened there is somebody's dialed in for a reading. They got through and they're still connected, but they don't realize. They probably think that they're waiting to get through. So I apologize.
Okay,
but
thanks.
What we've done is
we've just made
sure that that line's disconnected. So it's not us, you know, reading and doing our dishes, Dominique. We're all here focused upon you. So I know that it's been tough, Dominique, but this situation, and I'm not just saying this to make you feel good. I would always tell you what I honestly feel for you. And this is what I like about my colleagues at Psychic Access. We say what we see, even if it's not good news. But the picture for you is good. I see somebody that is... very grounded, very practical. Somebody that is a character that is trustworthy. You know, works hard, makes good decisions, etc. A person that we would find really solid, really reliable. And I see a great sort of initiation, a real exciting new beginning for you. And I feel that this period is the winter time, so we're just moving into fall. And in fact, well, we're not quite in fall, but the weather's feeling a little bit like fall, starting to where I am. And I feel that this happens in the winter, so it's not far away. It's this winter, but mark my words, this person will really ignite a passion in you, and you'll be excited not only by the fact that this person's really well grounded, really reliable and trustworthy, but also by all of the ideas this person has, the interactions and communications that you have together, the intellectual connection and stimulation, as well as the fact that there's a real sort of fiery physical attraction. So you haven't been feeling good about relationships, but that energy is shifting. And as I said to you, I feel this occurring in the winter time this year, and I feel that it will really be going very, very well, and particularly as we get into summer next year, that's going to be a great time for you. You're not going to feel the way you have felt about relationships recently, okay?
Fantastic.
Yeah,
I really
deserve
feel
it. You deserve it. You really do.
You've tapped into something, Steve, and I seriously think I might call you on my own sometime.
You'd be welcome to. We'd love to hear from you, Dominique. Okay?
Wonderful. Take care and lots of abundance your way, Steve.
Lots of love to you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much for calling, Dominique. And thank you, Steve, for that excellent reading. By all means, check Steve out at psychicaccess.com. And that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. Big thanks to Dog, who works behind the scenes to keep us all on track as our executive producer. Special thanks to my co-hosts for joining me tonight and every Thursday to make the Psychic Viewpoint the best place to be on the web. Now, Steve, your show next week is probably going to catapult itself into my top five favorites. I know what it is. But why don't you share with all of our friends what you have planned?
Sure, Stephen. We've got a great show. Sorry, I'm getting feedback sound. I hope everyone can hear me. We've got a great show lined up. We're going to be looking at past lives and how we can actually gather insight into our own past lives in order to heal, because we carry these energies and some of these traumas and baggage with us, as well as the good stuff. But we need to be able to dig in and understand things from the past, resolve matters from the past in our journeys towards spiritual completion, I guess, or spiritual growth in this lifetime. So great guest, Sandra Lee Serio, is joining us for that, Stephen.
Great guest, great topic, going to be a great show. Don't miss that next Thursday, Psychic Viewpoint. Thanks again, everyone in the audience, for listening tonight. Have a wonderful weekend. We will see you next Thursday night.
Hello, my name is Rez Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.